What is up, boys and girls and everything in between? It's Bear With Us. I'm Matt. She's Leah. Leah, que pasa, mi amor?
I'm tired.
I am exhausted.
We're tired, guys.
This will be the first ever undead episode of Bear With Us because we are both zombified.
We just landed from the road. Normally, we record during the week before we go on the road. But some things have happened this week, some things that were out of our control, and we'll get into those for sure. But we just landed, just got off a plane. We had to fly separately, which is so annoying.
Same city.
I hate that.
Two completely different routes.
Yes.
Two completely different paths across the country.
But
we're arrived.
Here.
We are here.
Made it.
Running on fumes and fumes alone. What, you just, you're like that kid from Hey Arnold. What's
she
that
goes,
kid? What?
And she goes like this every time, Helga. She just
She
Back
hits him.
Him.
Yeah, but the poor kid's got sinus issues, and he just gets beat up for it. That's not cool.
Well, you know what? He's annoying to her. She's a bully. No one likes Helga Pataki except Helga Pataki.
I mean, that's a very valid observation. We are really coming out of the
gate
strong.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
Here. We're 30 seconds in, and I'm waning already.
No, let's get into it.
Let's get into
why we had to change our recording schedule this week.
Okay. It's not going to affect anybody listening to this because they're going to hear it at the same time they would have actually. It literally only affects you and I.
Right. That's true.
And our esteemed producer / engineer friend, Peter, who does all the hard work for us here in the studio. However, let's get into it. What ailed us? Why do we find ourselves? This is going to be the worst episode I've ever done.
You know, it's okay. I'll do the
you
heavy
talk.
Lifting this
I'll just,
time.
I
and
will
then we'll
speak
see how
in a
it goes.
Series of
yes.
grunts and maybe some clicks.
Okay. You guys, I got the vid. I did. I got it. It got me. I got COVID.
You got got.
I got about, what, a week and a half ago? Two weeks ago now.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
at this
2
point.
Weeks ago. I woke up super, just like not feeling well, just really tired, run down, and took some tests, and I tested positive. And then, I mean, it was like a cold. It was kind of like a little bit worse than a cold. I was down and out for like 3 or 4 days, just not really doing much. But on the up and up, feeling better now. However, my lovely fiance over here was just bragging and bragging and bragging about his immune system and how amazing he is, and it's not going to get him, because it's true. He'd had to test because he was around me.
We lived together.
Yes.
We slept in the same
bed.
We
were making out like animals the night before I tested positive and I was like sick. So I don't know how you didn't get it. So he was really bragging.
I was extremely confident. Actually, I wasn't confident at all. I was just waiting. It was a matter of time until I took the test and got it. And I was fully mentally prepared for that, but I kept taking a test. I had to take multiple tests just to be able to go back to work.
Yeah.
And you and I are both vaccinated, and it was just, it finally hit us, and it was what it was. But I've avoided it this entire time.
But I was so grateful and relieved, because I'm like, if this fucker gets COVID, I'm going to be waiting on him hand and foot. He is going to be so obnoxious and over the top about it. So I was so grateful that he did not get it.
Because I, like many men that I know, don't get sick often, but when I do, I become completely useless. So I was able to go to work. Leah was able to stay home and recover, came back. Everything was fine. Full disclosure on this one, we travel for a living. Anyone that listens to this knows this, and we've received some notifications. I personally was recommended to get a booster shot for travel purposes. I don't want to get into the whole the political end of things. It was what it was. Went and got the booster. And I thought to myself, man, I dodged a bullet. I was teasing you. I was, you know, ribbing you mercilessly about how much better my superior immune system was.
This is a guy who drinks whiskey and eats McDonald's all the time.
Yeah, That's probably the reason I never get sick, because my blood type is 50% Jack Daniels.
And the other half is whatever they make their chicken nuggets out of.
Hey, you know what? McDonald's cheeseburgers never disintegrate.
Ew,
okay?
I know.
They last for
so bad.
Potentially hundreds of years. Ew, and that's basically going to be me. I'm mummifying myself from the inside out.
Oh, my God. It's so bad, babe.
It's pretty awesome. Right. But anyway, I thought, okay, well, Leah got sick. I didn't. Now's the perfect time. I dodged the bullet. I had no issues when I got the first shots. So I got the shot again, the booster, like you're supposed to do, everyone recommends. And oh my God, first day I was great. I was complaining, you know, playing
his
it up. My
hurt.
Shoulder hurt.
Oh, my
because,
poor baby.
You know, that's what I do. I'm a drama king at times around the house just to entertain myself. But the next morning, what would you say, about 5 a.m.?
No, it was around like 3:30.
Okay. Violently ill.
Like, disgusting.
Like, calling dinosaurs in the bathroom.
Ew.
I was pretty sure I was dying. To the point that Leah actually administered one of the COVID tests we had on me, thinking, okay, maybe it finally hit. Maybe I had it, and it was just sitting dormant, and it was my time to get it. And I was still negative. Didn't have it. I just had a bad reaction.
He was so sick to the point where I was like, okay, you need anything? You need water? You need whatever? This is like 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep because every 5 seconds he's running to the bathroom. So I'm like, I'm going upstairs. I slept in your daughter's bed because I'm like, I need to get away from this because I want to sleep. I had to get away from you.
Yeah, I couldn't keep anything down without getting into too many of the gory details. Ew. But I have not felt that awful in quite some time. I was downright useless.
So dramatic, you guys. So dramatic. He's like, I think I'm dying. Oh, my God. I can't even walk. I can't think. I can't see. I can't talk. I can't move. I can't blink. Oh, my God. I can't move my eyes. I can't close my eyes. I'm like, oh, my God. Ladies listening, okay, you know what it's like. If your partner is anything like Matt, they are
incredibly
just
devilishly handsome and so highly intelligent.
So dramatic when they're sick. Like when women are sick, it's like you keep going. Obviously with COVID, we can't, you have to stay home, you have to quarantine. But if you're sick, for the most part, for women, we still keep going. Like nothing stops for us. But for men, when they are sick, the entire world, their world shuts down. They can't do anything. They forget how to wipe their own.
I feel like as a dude, we eat a lot of crap throughout life. Like you, if you hurt yourself as a man, you can't cry about it. You can't sit down and go,
no,
oh,
that's no. Toxic masculinity.
No, it's not.
Yes.
It's just dude things, all right? There's a difference between toxic masculinity and just being a dude. Sure. There are plenty of times where where I think you or many females would go, oh, I can't do this, and you just go, okay, just suck it up. We'll deal with it. Rub some dirt on it. We'll be all right. But when it comes time to get sick,
I wish you guys could see my face right now. For those
watching
YouTube,
it's YouTube.
You can see it.
There's a video. Look, Juan, look right there. Right,
like
in that,
this
look
is the
that
face
one.
I'm making to everything you're saying. Anyway, please keep going. I'll play my violin.
Your incessant blinking does not make for great audio for those
I'll
not
play
watching on YouTube.
My violin while you keep talking.
While the ship goes down. When did you just got really Boston all of a sudden? This conversation like 3 times. I don't know what's happening.
Because I'm tired. My accent comes out.
When you're tired?
Yes, when I'm tired, when I'm drunk, or when I'm mad. Because
I've heard
like
it
I
when you're
don't
mad.
Think,
I've never.
You know, I had to train myself so hard to not have an accent because I just didn't like how it sounded, you know? It just happens sometimes.
It's weird. It's freaking me out. Anyway, yeah. I don't know. Why are you making fun of me for being sick?
No, you're saying that.
I'm saying
when,
that
for men,
men don't get sick often, at least in my experience or the men that I've been close to in my life. I mean, usually when you're sick, you have a cold, you don't call off work. You just go, you just deal with it. You just power through it. You call it whatever label you feel like putting on it. That's just generally how men handle things. Generally speaking, there are exceptions to every rule. I almost never get sick. You can probably count on one hand the amount of times I've been actually sick. Like there's times where I've been hungover and thought I was sick.
Yeah,
but
and
this
you
was
blame
actual
it on, oh no, babe, I'm sick. I'm like, babe, you're hungover. No. I didn't even drink that much. I'm like, okay.
No, I mean, that has happened. I'll admit that. But this was actual illness, and yeah, it was just a result. And again, I'm fine. I was sick for 2.5 days and kicked out, and it was what it was. Just a miserable experience. Not an, you know, I'm not making excuses or suggesting. I'm not disparaging. Before the internet gets mad, I'm not disparaging anything about the vaccine. I'm just saying I got sick.
Right.
I,
and you're fine.
And, it happens. If you Google it, which we did 16 ways from Sunday about every symptom that I was having, thinking, well, that's they're all just side effects of getting a vaccine sometimes. So I'm fine.
You're fine.
Long story short. But it did give us an ample opportunity to watch a hell of a lot of good television.
So much binging, you guys. So much binging. It really was a perfect time to start. So this is, full disclosure, Matt's been trying to get me to watch Yellowstone for a long time now. I'm like, oh, it just doesn't sound like anything I would really like. And he's like, no, we have to watch it. Everyone's talking about how amazing it is. I'm like, fine, I'll watch it.
So you begrudgingly agreed.
Yes. The first episode, mind you, is like 13 hours long.
Very long.
It's like 90 minutes for the first episode.
And you don't, with any episode, in this day and age, everyone streams and binges everything. More often than not, the first episode of any show is not great.
Yeah, it's not a good representation.
It kind of is like the setup. If you watch, and I don't care what the show is, even if you don't, I mean, don't love the first one, I think it's almost fair to give it the second episode. If you don't like the second episode, to hell with it. But most of the shows, the way they're built nowadays, you kind of have to lay the groundwork. And that's the case with Yellowstone, the very first one.
Yeah, I am so obsessed, you guys. I am like living and breathing Yellowstone. I dream about it at night. We went through the first season, which the episodes, like I said, the first one was 90 minutes. The rest of them were between like 45 minutes to a little over an hour.
I'm pretty sure everyone listening has already watched it. You are the last person in the party. It's like the biggest show in America.
Oh my gosh.
Like 14 million people every week watch it.
Okay.
You were the one that was holding out.
Well, I'm just saying, we binged it so quickly, and I feel like I really want to move to a ranch now. I need to live on a ranch, and I need you to turn into John Dutton. I'm obsessed with Kevin Costner. He's such a babe.
There's nothing wrong with that. I don't take offense. Now, see, there are a lot of times we'll have conversations. You'll be like, oh, this guy's so hot. Who?
You're so mad about Pete Davidson.
I'm not mad about
Pete Davidson. I don't even think he's that hot. I don't think he's hot.
I just don't get it. I think I'm a pretty valid judge as far as like I understand why women find certain men attractive for you know physically speaking a lot. How often does it happen? Oh, that's a good looking guy. Like I have no problem. I'm confident enough saying like, oh, I understand why chicks want to F that dude or they think that he's super attractive.
Yeah.
The Pete Davidson thing I just don't get. I think Pete Davidson's a funny guy. Yeah. I have no issue with him. He's talented. I'm not saying like, oh, I don't know why anyone would ever want to. It just seems to defy all my logic that Pete Davidson is like the it guy now.
Right. Well, it's true. It's funny. By looking at
that's him. That's based strictly on looks alone.
Right. Which that's also awful. Like maybe it's like he has a great personality or he's got I don't know.
Okay. I'm not saying, but all of a sudden, what I don't understand is like when you see him in the media, all of a sudden everybody's swooning like he's a goddamn Backstreet Boy or something. Like, oh my God, Pete Davidson. Oh my God, Pete Davidson. Like, okay. I get it. Kevin Costner has been like the most handsome dude on earth for like 50 years.
Has he? I'm so late to the party.
I mean, Kevin Costner has been in mega movies as long as I can remember. And he's always been like a pretty widely accepted good looking guy.
Yeah.
I'm not saying there's anything wrong with finding Pete Davidson attractive. I'm saying objectively, if you showed me a lineup of 10 men of varying appearances, I don't think he would usually be within my top three to be like, oh, I would think women really are into that guy.
Well, he has a great personality. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Again, I'm assuming.
This is not a point of
contention.
It's
not all about looks, honey.
It's not all about looks. I understand that. But when you are the Hollywood it dude where any celebrity couple is like now afraid if Pete Davidson's in the room, like the woman might leave for Pete Davidson.
Right.
It's weird.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
What does that mean? Everyone's saying so something else happened recently and they're like, oh, and so-and-so has been rumored to be seen with Pete Davidson. And it's like, it was just like a joke. It's like a meme now.
At work the other night, somebody in the crowd had a sign that said like something about like, watch out for Pete Davidson.
Right.
Like, and every time one of the girls would come out, he would just hold it. I don't know. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
And good on the dude. I'm not hating on him. I mean,
he's been with like, Ariana Grande, was it Kate Beckinsale he was with?
I don't know.
And now Kim Kardashian, who's like the girl in the entertainment, and he's with, you know, it's just crazy. But I mean, whatever, whatever.
Yeah, but back to anyway. The Yellowstone discussion. I understand why you think John Dutton's like a, especially even as an older guy.
Yeah.
Now you're growing, you know, more mature.
But what were now, you going to say? Wait, I'm growing.
I chose my words carefully. I said you are growing more mature.
I don't know about that.
I didn't want to say you're getting older.
Babe,
I didn't want to say you're aging.
I'm 34.
I didn't want to say you're approaching the pearly gates. I didn't want to put that out. I was just saying you're growing mature. And sometimes, I mean, everyone ages. I think it's cool that you can look at an older man and because I can go, oh, okay, now I have like something to aspire to.
You're like, I want to be John Dutton.
I do want to be John Dutton. I don't want to be Kevin Costner. I want to be John Dutton. I want to be like the bad cowboy, which I have literally nothing in common with.
Yeah,
anything.
You couldn't be further from who John Dutton is.
No, I'm a total city boy.
We just, again, it was a storm this weekend. Like, the travel was crazy. We just drove to the studio here, and Matt is wearing his Converse, and he gets out, and he's standing in almost a foot of snow. He's like, oh, my God. I'm like, meanwhile, I have my huge UGG boots on. Like, what are you thinking? You're not prepared. You are a city boy. You couldn't be further from a country boy.
Yeah, never claimed to be anything but just a fan of. I'm wearing a Doc Holliday t-shirt right now. I mean, I'm a fan of watching cowboy movies. I love Yellowstone. Great show.
Obsessed.
Yeah.
Are you going to talk about your PTSD you have? This is something that you brought up the other day as we were watching Yellowstone.
Well, yeah.
And it makes me laugh.
So Yellowstone has been our latest binge program, which we either watch on the couch or we've even begun now going into bed and laying in bed and watching multiple episodes, which shout out to Leah for the growth in that department.
I
because
know.
99% of the time, within 12 seconds of Leah's head hitting the pillow,
I'm out.
She's asleep.
Normally, we only just put on The Office or whatever, like
something to fall asleep
to. Yeah, something light to just put on while we're in bed. And normally, it's just that. But that's how obsessed I am with Yellowstone that we watched. Like last week, we watched 3 episodes in bed at night. Like, that's a lot. We were up till like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Which, you know, and you got mad at me for saying you're growing mature and not using the other phrase. But what I have developed since we have begun this new habit, this binge watching during all of our downtime, I guess it goes back to like the pandemic days.
Yeah.
Leah has this thing where she refuses to watch the intro of a show. And it's not a Leah exclusive problem because there is a button on most platforms that you can skip the intro. However, for one reason or another, the remote is always closer to me, and I find myself, I'm not a remote hog.
Yes, you are.
I find myself in the midst of a full-blown panic attack when I hear the opening notes to The Office theme song, now to Yellowstone, that if I don't hit skip intro in the appropriate amount of time, I am going to be belittled, berated, and made fun of for the duration of the intro, because there's only a window. You got to hit it within the first 10 seconds.
Or you're it goes away.
And it goes away.
You have to scroll down and move over, you know.
Yeah, I know how it works. Trust me. I promise you, no one on earth knows how it works better than I do. The problem is, I'm sometimes in a different state of mind. Maybe we've had a couple drinks. Maybe I'm tired. Maybe I'm sort of fading. But the minute I hear the music on the intro hit, I am like, I could wake up from a coma. If I ever go into a coma, if I ever slip into a coma, put Yellowstone on the television, put the remote within an arm's reach in any direction of me, and I promise you, I will come back to life. I will be reanimated instantly because of fear of the repercussions of having to sit through the intro of a damn show.
You're, again, being so dramatic. I joke around. I feel like that's my thing. I just like to bust your balls over that. It's just a joke. I really don't care, but I just don't want to waste my time sitting through an intro. You've seen it once. You've seen it a million. You don't need to see it any more times. You already know what it is. That's like when we're watching anything if it's on Hulu. On Hulu, you can't skip an intro. I hate that. Why do they do that? Hulu needs to get on their game. We need to be able to skip the intro on Hulu. Everything else, you can skip the intro. Get your shit together, Hulu.
Why don't you you should write a strongly worded letter or something of that. No, but while we're talking about skipping the intro, the other thing that we have begun to do over the past several months since we last joined you,
I'm a little embarrassed.
Season
about
two
this.
Is skip chunks of a show yet watch almost every single episode intently because it is the most bizarre show that has ever been conceived, and we have this morbid fascination with it.
I just want to preface it with this. I think everyone sort of has their little guilty pleasure thing that they do, whether, and I'm not even talking about a show, right? Something, if you watch Sex in the City, they talk about this in one episode where they say, like, you like to do your thing, like, when you're alone. And, like, Charlotte says she likes to stare at her pores in the mirror and...
Stare at her what?
Her pores and, like, pick her face in the mirror. And then Miranda says she likes to put, like, lotion mitts on and watch her shows. And Carrie says she likes to stand up in the kitchen and read. Like, you know, it's just, like, something weird you like to do.
What was weird about any of those things? That's like just something.
No, but just
that
something
people
you want to do on your own, and like no one really knows about. Like you don't want to do it in front of your partner. Just something you like to do on your own that you just do and you don't talk about, right? So I truly feel like couples have those things. Like certain couples or couples have a certain thing that they do and they don't really talk about with everyone else. But like, hey, we like, yeah, this is our thing we do. And I think,
and we have a podcast to talk about what we do.
Right, right. Well,
like
this
that time
is our
you
thing.
Like John Dutton so much, you tried to make me wear a saddle. It was weird, but
you're so stupid. But this is our thing. So I just want to preface it with that. This isn't some like, this is our little guilty pleasure. So continue.
Our guilty pleasure began completely by accident, but again, too much scrolling through Netflix
yes.
can open some weird doors.
Yes.
Should you ever be so inclined, we all know that we all spend more time searching for what to watch on Netflix than actually watching Netflix.
Because it wasn't in the top 10 or most popular or anything like that.
Follow your heart once in a while.
Yes.
Just see how deep down the rabbit hole you can go, which is what we did one evening. And we stumbled across a show called Sexy Beasts. Now, without giving much away, I'm just going to tell you there's nothing that we can say about this show that can do it any justice.
No, you
I
have
strongly
to watch
suggest
it.
The next time you have free time, watch Sexy Beasts, if for no other reason than just to ask yourself, what the hell am I watching?
Right.
Quick synopsis of it.
Yeah.
It's a dating show. And everybody is dressed in these elaborate, professional, special effects makeup costumes. Like, there might be somebody that's a unicorn or
an alligator or
I mean, amazing, amazing professional makeup. There's a show on Sci-Fi, I forget, where the makeup artists compete, Face Off. It's like that level of makeup, like really, really cool stuff. You have no idea what these people look like.
You don't know what race they are, what color hair they have. The only thing you can see is their eye color.
And
it's
like a blind date.
Yeah.
But you're actually with this person, but you have no idea what they actually look
yes.
like. But you're seeing their mannerisms, and they go on. Truth be told, we've watched 2 seasons.
Yes.
I still don't know how the damn show works,
right?
Because we do this weird thing where we watch them introduce what the characters are, and you see the reveal, the masks, and then we just skip to the part where they unmask the people.
Right.
And then it happens twice. There's like an unmask, you get voted off, you have to take your costume off,
yeah.
And then the person who's playing gets to see, like, oh man, I just missed out on this person who's a babe,
right, right.
Or oh, okay. And 9 times out of 10, everyone's like ridiculously
gorgeous.
Good looking.
Yeah, gorgeous.
And it's so bizarre. And I'm pretty sure the heart of the show is don't judge a book by its cover, right?
Right.
And appearances aren't everything. And I think that's a great message. But the way Leah and I watch it just defies any sort of logic. We only want to see the reveal and then be like, oh, and somehow we find ourselves emotionally invested in this.
Well, because we're fast-forwarding the dating part, but we're watching the intro. We get to know them. We get to know what they like and how they talk and what they're into.
Yeah,
and we get to see
the
their
interaction.
The dates
don't interest us.
Yeah, the dates are boring. So we just fast-forward. And then what they do, so there's the person who's like, say, the bachelor or whatever.
Right.
And then there's 3 bachelorettes. And after they all go on a date, they get rid of one. So then we pause it at that, or we play it and stop fast forwarding. So then we see, okay, who's the first person they're going to get rid of? And then they do the reveal. We're like, oh my God. Okay. That's exactly what I thought she would look like. Oh no. Oh my gosh. I can't believe she didn't look like that. And then we fast forward the next date, the next 2 dates. And then at the end we see, and it's just so interesting. And I don't know. We literally binged the first season in one sitting. We're like, oh my God, let's watch another one.
This, truth be told, is how we spent Leah's birthday.
Yeah.
The day after, less than 24 hours after we had been engaged, we were in the same hotel in Boston amidst the rose petals still
yes,
scattered.
Still everywhere.
Which were no longer quite as romantic because they start drying out and then it just looks like fall leaves all over your hotel room. It was kind of messy. But yeah, that's what we did. We went to dinner and then we went back to the hotel and binged Sexy Beasts. And it was then, it was in that moment that I realized how messed up you and I collectively are in that we are in a different city, your home city.
Right, but it's like we could have done anything.
Your birthday, freshly engaged. We can do anything in the world. What are we going to do? We're going to fast forward and skip around, but also binge a costume dating show.
It's so good, and I highly recommend it. For nothing else, I mean, the message itself is good. You know, you're getting to know someone, and you're judging them based off of solely off their personality. And I think that's really fucking cool. That's a cool message.
It's a great concept.
Again, maybe Pete Davidson would be great on that show.
He very well may be. And if he charmed the pants off of somebody, great. I'm just saying, I don't understand. And you keep trying to spin this like I'm trying
you
to.
You hate Pete Davidson.
No, I don't. Yes, you do. I think Pete Davidson's funny. I get it.
Ladies out there listening, do you get it? I get it. Something about him is kind of like not the typical like Brad Pitt or something like that. And he's funny and he's just kind of, he wears white t-shirt. He doesn't try too hard.
But if I all of a sudden started dressing like Pete Davidson.
I would love it. I would not. I love his style. I think it's cool.
I think it's a product of the.
I mean, you basically do. You wear jeans, a t-shirt, and sneakers. Like,
so I'm basically Pete Davidson.
You're Pete Davidson. But
I look at myself and would go, I understand why people want to do him. No, it was a joke. Can I tell you a story before we move on?
Oh, yes.
Because I was going to do this when you walked in the house before we left for the studio.
Okay.
But I've had to take a moment to digest it. Now,
oh, no.
As we had started the show talking about we had just been on the road for the past day and a half, 2 days, for 2 days, I guess, for work. And Sunday night, I woke up in the middle of the night in a panic because we knew we were having a storm here in Pittsburgh, and I was really concerned that something would happen to the pets.
Right. We leave them at home when we're on the road because it's only like a day and a half.
Wake up in the morning. Yeah, they're totally fine. They're well taken care of. Automatic feeders. Yeah.
We have a system.
It's a great system. I woke up in the morning and you were like, hey, what's the matter? And I was like, I had like this really weird dream. I'm really worried about that. I said, turn on the camera to look at the pets. And you said, it's not hooked up right now. Oh,
the pet camera.
The pet camera. Yeah, that's how hooked up we are. We have a freaking camera installed for our pets. So I didn't tell you the whole story.
Oh, no.
In my dream, the reason that I woke up in a cold sweat in the middle of the night, completely freaked out, was I could not remember whether or not no, we left the dog outside.
No. Babe.
Listen to me now. I was full blown panicked because I remember you let him out and then he came back in and he wanted to go back out again. And it's just the chaos of leaving and grabbing suitcases and upstairs and downstairs and repacking and do that and make sure everybody. And I remember walking out the door and locking the door and we went to the airport. Didn't think anything of it. Didn't even think about it on the plane. For some reason, I had this dream that when we left, Pancake was still outside and neither of us realized and he froze. So I had this anxiety. Even after I told you about, hey, you should check on the pets, and you're like, oh, we got the feeding notifications, super hooked up, notified when our pets get fed. Did you see what happened to my mouth? That was really weird. It like went on. Yeah. So I didn't want to tell you because I knew you would then.
Babe,
lose
I would
it.
Have reassured you because I knew for a fact we left him inside.
It wouldn't have done me any good. Because it happened in my dream. You ever have a dream? Oh, we talk. I think we've talked about it on the show how like you have a dream that your partner cheats on you. Yeah. You wake up and you're mad at them, and like it takes. I had that same anxiety for 2 days till this morning. I was on the flight and I'm going. I texted you. I said I'm just going to Uber home because I don't feel like waiting around at the airport. Do you know why I Ubered home?
To check on Pancake.
Because I wanted to go home because I realized if I had a little 4-pound frozen dog on the back porch that I had to dispose of.
Babe! What? You're just going to get rid of him. Not let me say bye.
I wasn't going to like toss him in the trash, babe. But I had to be prepared for damage control. And I was like, if this is my doing, she's probably not going to marry me.
Well, you know what this means, right?
What?
You love pancake. That's what this means.
I guess it must.
You know you love
Despite
him.
My best efforts, I was genuinely concerned for 2 days that I, and again, I had no real justification other than my dream because I couldn't remember the details because there was so much happening when we were leaving. I was really worried that I let our dog get frozen.
You know what? You love pancake. And despite what he acts like on here, you guys, he does love pancake. He let him out. Like when he got home, well, when I landed, I said, how are our pets? That was my first question. He's like sending me videos of
not did you make it
around.
Home safe. Not did you get in all right. Not did you fall down the stairs and slip in the ice and break yourself.
Oh my God, you're so dramatic. But he was sending videos of Pancake running around, so happy. I love that you love him, even though you act like you don't.
Okay.
I was just thinking maybe it's time for a little
Yeah, it sounds like a great
dogs,
time for that.
You know, what if I sang the male song as if Blue is frozen outside?
Well, if Blue is frozen outside, there would be no male song.
Here's the male. Never failed. Makes us want to.
It's been 84 years. That's all I'm getting is Titanic vibes.
Here's the mail that never fails and makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail!
I mean, I did preface this by saying this would be an undead episode.
I feel like I'm dead. I'm dead, bitch. It's Britney, bitch. Oh, my God. You guys, can we just talk really quickly about the Jamie Lynn and Britney Spears drama?
No.
Oh, my God. I'm so into it. I'm so invested. If you guys listen to the Call Her Daddy podcast, or if you want to know about Jamie Lynn, listen to her interview on the Call Her Daddy podcast.
Who gives a fuck about Jamie Lynn Spears on this show?
Babe, some of the listeners probably do. Like, I talk sometimes about Bravo and Real Housewives, and our listeners know about it.
Okay.
I'm just saying there's so much happening with Britney and Jamie. It's a lot, and I am so intertwined in this web of family affairs. I can't get enough of it.
Let me know when Jamie Lynn Spears starts banging Pete Davidson.
Babe, you just a matter of time. Obsessed with Pete. I don't know who you're more obsessed with, Pete or Pancake.
I want you to open the damn mailbag.
Are you obsessed with Pete or Pancake? I want to know. Peter. Pancake. Who is it?
English breakfast.
We're not even getting into that.
I know.
My fiance likes baked beans for breakfast.
Remember
like,
that
you
time,
guys, I can't even.
Do you remember that time
it.
You teased like you were going to open the mailbag and then you just kept sidetracking yourself?
Yes. Well, you just brought up English breakfast. All right, here we go. Question number one, honey. Hey, Matt and Leah, this is a question for the both of you, but maybe a bit more for Matt, though, since he may find himself dealing with the same issue at times. I'm a 38-year-old punk rock guy. Did you used to work at a record store?
Shut up, I hate you.
From a style perspective, still try to focus on looking cool, but sometimes there can be a fine line between looking cool and simply looking juvenile. Did you write this, babe? Matt, how has your rebel style evolved over the years? What works and what doesn't? What did you wear as a teen that you wouldn't wear today? And what do you wear today that you wouldn't wear as a teen? And Leah, when it comes to men's style, what do you absolutely love in a guy and what do you absolutely hate? Thanks, guys.
What would I not wear today that I used to proudly rock in my teenage years would definitely be JNCO jeans. The giant JNCOs with like straps and buckles and the UFO pants, all that weird. I mean, it was a different time. This was,
well,
you
know. Well, that style has evolved in general.
I hope it's coming back. When JNCOs come back, mark my words. You heard it here on the Bear With Us podcast on this. We're recording this the 18th day of January, 2022. Within 3 years, JNCO jeans will be back. Not with, like, people my age, but, like, kids. Like, my son will probably wear them. It's going to be weird. So I would never do that these days, even if it did become fashionable yet again. And as far as what I do now that I wouldn't have done then, I wish I knew then what I know now, that it's really kind of thoughtless and easy, and you shouldn't have to put too much work into it.
Would you have some advice for him on, like, what?
I was answering, there was, like, a five-part question.
Oh, I know, I'm just
saying. I'm getting there. To me, it's less about fashion and more about style. And I don't consider myself, like, this great fashionista by any means. You can ask Leah. I'm sure she's chomping at the bit to tell you. I hate shopping. I don't like shopping online. I don't like shopping in stores. I'm not allowed to shop online. But I 99% of my life exist in a usually black t-shirt, jeans, and comfortable sneakers like Chuck Taylors, Doc Martens sometimes if I'm feeling fancy. I mean, when I go to work, I have to dress up in suits and things like that, but I don't enjoy that. I get no thrill out of like, oh, I looked this way.
No, that's not true because I got you some really awesome suits for Christmas and you had like, you were feeling yourself. I have this, you know.
I would admit to that. I know when I feel my best, but it has less to do with like an article that I'm wearing so much as like kind of the whole overall vibe.
Feel.
And I suck at assembling that. And I ask you for help all the time, yeah. And you just recently have agreed to help me from time to time
right.
when I get stuck. But I get bored, and I'm like, okay, I feel like this looks really good. But obviously there's times you have to, if Leah and I are going out, I'll wear a black t-shirt and black jeans and black boots and a black coat. Just keep it really simple.
Yeah.
But there are times, but as far as like changing up your fashion, I haven't really done much. I mean, it's kind of timeless, you know what I mean? You look at a guy, and I'm sure the dude who sent this email will understand, like Mike Ness. Mike Ness from Social Distortion to me has always been, he's always had cool style. And it's usually like Dickies and either like a wife beater shirt or just simple, clean. And he just still looks cool. And he dresses the same way he does now at the age of like 60 something that he did when he was a teenager starting Social D. I think it's more how you wear it, less than what you wear.
And I think if you have confidence, you can rock anything.
Yeah.
It just, because if you're wearing something and you're not comfortable, you can tell. You can tell when someone's not feeling confident.
Totally. I will give you this. Above all else, my only rule, I would say, when it comes to dressing myself, make sure it fits.
Yeah.
If it's too big, if it's too small, if it's too tight, it just make sure it fits, because if you feel physically comfortable in it, it'll fit your body, and it just all works. Yeah. It just works a little bit better.
As far as what I like on a guy, I like the simple. I think when a guy is trying way too hard to like put something together, it's just kind of unattractive. It's a turnoff. I like someone.
Calvin
Klein
is no friend of mine. Don't want nobody's name on my behind. Does that still resonate with anybody? I mean, Calvin Klein aside, because.
I mean, I do like your style. I'm just ignoring what you just said. I don't know what that is.
It's from Rockbox. It's from Run DMC. It's one of my favorite songs. He says, Calvin Klein's no friend of mine. Don't want nobody's name on my behind.
You already said that.
Meaning, it's not about labels.
Right.
I don't care. Oh, these are Supreme underwear. They were $9,000. Guess what? Ew. No one still wants to do you because you're an idiot that spent $9,000 on underwear.
Right.
You think Pete Davidson wears...
No, I don't think
so. No, I don't either. You were talking about he just wears a white t-shirt. They're $800 white t-shirts, but...
I mean, I doubt it, but I just think... If you are comfortable, whatever you're wearing, like confidence is the best thing a guy can wear. Honestly, you could wear, like you said, a Hanes t-shirt and $20 jeans. I don't care.
Nine times out of ten, I do.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The one thing that I will say, like, and I let you wear what you want. Sometimes I have to speak up and I have to say, like, no, babe, like that does not go or that does not work. Like recently, you bought these jeans at H&M. And they're I like the jeans you wear.
But listen to what you say. I bought these at H&M. I think I spent $20.
Right. And like that, I have jeans from H&M. Like I'm all about that. But to me, these jeans are, they have like, it's one thing to have like a couple rips in your jeans, but these jeans are like way too, they're trying way too hard to be like distressed. And it's just like a little too much for my taste. I try to keep that to myself. And then I'm so bad at like, not saying something. I know I should just shut my mouth and just let it be, but I'm like, oh, where'd you get those jeans? Are they new? And you're just like, yeah, I got them at H&M. I love them. They're so comfortable. I'm like, oh, and then once you said that, I was like, okay, that's fine. And I didn't say anything about it again, but.
They're a little too distressed for Leah's taste.
It's just like trying too hard, I guess.
What the hell am I trying for?
Well, that's what I'm wondering.
I'm not trying for anything. I just thought they were comfortable. They thought they looked,
and
I liked how they looked.
All that fucking matters. And you wear the shit out of them.
Yeah, you're right. And if I wear them out,
and I don't say to like, don't wear them. Like you can wear whatever the hell you want. I would never say that. And you don't ever. And that's one thing. I mean, this isn't about me, but you never tell me what to wear. You never tell me I can't wear something. And I know sometimes I like to be over the top with my outfits once a while, or most of the time, I wear crop tops. My boobs are always hanging up because I just
subtlety. If you got
it, fucking flaunt it. Who cares? I'm not trying to be small or minimize myself. If I'm like going to a business meeting, of course I'm not doing that. But you know, I like to dress the way I like to dress, and you never try to tell me, no, you can't wear that, or why are you wearing that? Or, and I've been in relationships in the past, like, oh, you're wearing that without me. Yeah, I am, because this is who I am. This is how I dress. I'm not going to suddenly start dressing differently just because you're not here, you know? So I love that you let me dress how I want.
I promise that within the next 6 to 8 months, I will wear chaps.
Assless chaps?
There are only one kind of chaps. I hate. Did you know that? Have we had this discussion
yes.
before?
Yes.
Yeah, because otherwise so they're called pants.
God damn. You're so stupid. Okay.
I hope that answered your question, dude.
Yeah, that was very long. Question number two, honey. Hello. I'm so glad you guys are back on the pod, and congratulations on your engagement. I'm so happy for you both. What are you most looking forward to about getting married, and what are you most afraid of? That's a good question. What are you most looking forward to? I mean, for me, I'm just so excited to marry you. I just can't wait to be married. My whole life, I always thought I would get married. Then the older I got, I'm like, oh, maybe it's not for me. But I'm like, when you meet the right person, it just feels like I can't wait to celebrate. Like, I cannot wait for our wedding day. I can't wait to celebrate our love with all of our close family and friends and just be married. And I'm also really looking forward to having health insurance.
There it was. There it was.
I'm sick of having to pay for my own health insurance. It's really annoying. And I get nothing with it. I don't have mental health. I don't have dental. I don't have what? Like what? It's so annoying. So, you have great insurance, and I can't wait to be on it.
Guys, we've just exposed my game, my secret. How did I land this beautiful creature? Great insurance.
What are you looking forward to most?
I'm looking forward to...
As someone who's already been married, right?
I've been there, right? I'm looking forward to the wedding. I think it's going to be a blast. I think it's going to be an amazing night that is unforgettable for us, and you know, keeping it tight, small, close friends, you know, and immediate family, just having a really special night for everybody. I just think, like, just it becomes, like, real and official, and it's kind of like, okay, now what? Like, now what do? We are a married couple.
It's us
now we can
the world.
Build a life. Yeah. You know, and again, I've done that before, and I guess that's part of the second part of the question, what am I most afraid of? I've had it happen before and not work out. So somewhere in the back of my mind, I like to think, and we've discussed this, that I learned so much from my past mistakes that's making me better at this whole thing, relationships with you and I, and hopefully I'll be an even better husband, you know what I mean, because of what I've been through. But in the back of your mind, it's like you've been burned. You know,
right. There
is a potential for that, and I don't think like that. I think, okay, I did that wrong before. I've been here before. I've been in this situation. Okay, how do I prevent that from happening? So ultimately, I think I'm trying to turn a negative into a positive.
Yeah.
But I guess that would be my answer to the second part of that.
My answer to the second part is the thing that I'm afraid of is just being comfortable and complacent. And just being like, oh, it's just the same song and dance every day. We wake up, do the same shit, and go to bed, and just kind of go through the motions and don't really enjoy each other
right. And
enjoy our life together. And that is the thing I'm most afraid of. So I know I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that doesn't happen. And will there be times and time periods where I'm sure we just kind of are in the routine of things? Sure, because it can't be fireworks and butterflies every single day.
Right.
But I just want to make sure that, you know, we always remember how good we have it and how special it is. And, you know, we were talking about the other day, like, not only do we get along great, not only do we love each other so much, not only do we have fun together, like, we're best friends, and it's just so cool that we get to do that. We get to be married to our best friend.
And when our love starts to lull a little bit, I'll just flash out my insurance card.
You're like, where do you think you're going, bitch? You're not going to get insurance. Oh. You divorce me.
Hey, you haven't taken me on a date. Boom, Aetna card. Check that out. Oh, well. Let's just get naked.
That's how you get me going. Like, we get in a fight.
What's Leah's biggest turn on? Dental.
Oh, I do have like a problem with my crown and my tooth, right. And I need to really.
I think we've probably violated HIPAA laws in this podcast. All we've talked about is our illnesses and what's bad.
Okay, we have one more question. Question number three, honey. Hey, Matt and Leah, I'm a big fan both on here and TV. I'm torn. I'm engaged to a verbal and controlling fiance, and I have an ex/old flame come back to my life. He's my best friend and my first love. And when I talk to him, it brings back old memories, happy memories, but I get anxiety about the past and how we broke up, but I just can't let him go. I still love him. What should I do?
I'm going to give you my take, but I think you're probably a little more qualified to speak on this. But my thought in this sort of situation is I think our brains are wired to remember positive memories and flush out negative ones, unless they're serious negative, you know, life-altering or thought-altering negative experiences. You tend to look back through with rose-colored glasses, like, oh, you know what, it wasn't that bad. Oh, when we did have a lot of really good times, and I'm sure you did, but your brain is more inclined to focus on those than what caused the unraveling in the first place. So I would just say always be very cognizant of, I'm not one that says, oh, well, you guys broke up, you could never, ever get back right. together. It's never going to work. I don't believe that. But I think you just need to go into it with the right mindset.
And if you're engaged to someone who is verbally and mentally abusive, you need to get out.
Totally.
Like, it's not permanent, right? Even being married isn't permanent. You can get out of it, but you're not even there yet. You're just engaged. So yeah. my suggestion is give him back the ring and just move on. And that doesn't mean you have to go back to your ex.
Right.
You just need to get out of the situation you're in because this is not healthy.
It's clouding your judgment because what you're in now is not what you want. And you're reminiscing.
Romanticizing, yes. Your past relationship.
Right. But I mean, no matter what the circumstance, if you feel like you're being abused or treated less than, or, you know, you're just not happy. It doesn't have to be as serious as I don't like to throw that word around because that's a very touchy subject. If you feel that, then you need to make a change. And then guess what? Maybe you remove yourself from the situation and now your best friend is just your best friend and you don't have those romantic ideologies anymore because you're thinking with a clear head because you're not in a toxic situation. You have to get back to zero.
Yeah. And it's okay to be alone. I think a lot of times I'm guilty of it. I was a habitual dater in my past. So I felt like if I was not happy in my relationship, I'm like, well, I can't be alone. I don't want to be alone. So like, I guess I just have to stick it out. And that's not the case. If you're not happy, you have to get out because being alone and being healthy and happy mentally is way better than being in a mentally abusive relationship. It's way better. So you have to get out and just, you'll find someone else. And it's not even about finding someone else. You just have to remove yourself from the situation so you can be happy and clear, like Matt said.
There you go. There we have it. Make sure you refill the mailbag.
Yes, we want some more. You guys have been sending awesome questions.
Yeah, the questions have been great.
Yes.
BearWithUsPod@gmail.com. We've been slacking. Make sure you send us a rating or a review wherever you're listening to us. If you leave a comment on the YouTube page. Give us a thumbs up. We've noticed we're still building. We're rebuilding.
Yes.
We got stagnant for a little while, so we need to kick the flames.
Well, we got engaged. That's my baby.
Yeah, for sure. I'm mentally exhausted right now. I'm not even sure my tongue is doing what my brain is telling it.
Oh, my God. Well, I hope your tongue is doing what it's supposed to do later.
You mean after I show you my copay?
Oh, my God. I was kidding about the insurance, but now it's going to be a thing now. But thank you guys so much for listening. Please, like Matt said, refill the mailbag and subscribe, right?
Sure. Send it to a friend.
Yes.
Tell a friend.
Tell your mom, tell your neighbor, tell your coach, tell your doctor.
Tell your insurance agent. Goodbye forever.
Bear with us.